Kaz, as he was named later on, seemed pathetically eager to be accepted. At the same time, he was suspicious of anyone who got too close. A woman walked by then, muttering over and over in German, "My God, what have I done to offend thee?" A man, both fists clenched and raised to shoulder height, was shouting in Yiddish, "My beard, my beard!" Another man was pointing at his genitals and saying in Slovenian, "They've made a Jew of me, a Jew! Do you think that—" "No, it couldn't be." Burton grinned savagely and said, "It doesn't occur to him that maybe they have made a Mohammedan out of him, or an Australian Aborigine, or an ancient Egyptian, all of whom practiced circumcision." "What did he say?" asked Frigate. Burton translated. Frigate laughed. A woman hurried by. She was making a pathetic attempt to cover her breasts and pubic regions with her hands. She was muttering, "What will they think? What will they think?" And she disappeared behind the trees. A man and a woman passed them. They were talking loudly in Italian as if they were separated by a broad highway. "We can't be in heaven." "I know. Oh, my God, I know. There was Giuseppe Zomzini, and you know what a wicked man he was. He ought to burn in hellfire. I know, I know. He stole from the treasury. He frequented whorehouses. He drank himself to death. Yet he's here. I know, I know." Another woman was running and screaming in German, "Daddy, Daddy, where are you? It's your own darling Hilda." A man scowled at them and said repeatedly in Hungarian, "I'm as good as anyone and better than some. To hell with them." A woman said, "I wasted my whole life, my whole life. I did everything for them. And now—" A man, swinging the metal cylinder before him as if it were a censer, called out, "Follow me to the mountains. Follow me. I know the truth, good people. Follow me. We'll be safe in the bosom of the Lord. Don't believe this illusion around you. Follow me. I'll open your eyes." Others spoke gibberish or were silent, their lips tight as if they feared to utter what was within them. "It'll take some time before they straighten out," Burton said. He felt that it would take a long time before the world became mundane for him, too. "They may never know the truth," Frigate said. "What do you mean?" "They didn't know the truth, capital T, on Earth, so why should they hear? What makes you think we're going to get a revelation?" Burton shrugged and said, "I don't, but I do think we ought to determine just what our environment is and how we can survive in it. The fortune of a man who sits, sits also." He pointed toward the riverbank. "See those stone mushrooms? They seem to be spaced out at intervals of a mile. I wonder what their purpose is." Monat said, "If you had taken a close look at that one, you would have seen that its surface contains about 700 round indentations. They are just the right size for the base of a cylinder to fit in. In fact, there is a cylinder in the center of the top surface. I think that if we examine that cylinder, we may be able to determine their purpose. I suspect that it was placed there, so we do just that." Chapter 5. A woman approached them. She was of medium height, had a superb shape, and a face that would have been beautiful if it had been framed by hair. Her eyes were large and dark. She made no attempt to cover herself with her hands. Burton was not the least bit aroused looking at her or any of the women. He was too deeply numbed. The woman spoke in a well-modulated voice and an Oxford accent. "I beg your pardon, gentlemen, I couldn't help overhearing you. You're the only English voices I've heard since I woke up. Here, wherever here is. I am an English woman, and I am looking for protection. I throw myself on your mercy."
"Fortunately for you, madame," Burton said, "you come to the right men. At least, speaking for myself, I can assure you that you will get all the protection I can afford. Though if I were like some of the English gentlemen I've known, you might not have fared so well. By the way, this gentleman is not English. He's Yankee."
It seemed strange to be speaking so formally, this day of all days, with all the wailing and shouting up and down the valley and everybody berthed naked and as hairless as eels. The woman held out her hand to Burton.
"I'm Mrs. Hargreaves," she said.
Burton took the hand and, bowing, kissed it lightly. He felt foolish, but at the same time the gesture strengthened his hold on sanity. If the forms of polite society could be preserved, perhaps the rightness of things might also be restored.